You're listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. And a big thanks to our presenting sponsor, Zondervan, a revered and reliable source for transformative and inspirational content. Support this podcast by visiting zondervan.com and find your next favorite book. Now, on to the show.
Hello, hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to the Bought and Beloved podcast. My name is Kirby Minnick, also known as @KirbyIsTheBoss on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter, and I am so happy that you chose to join me today as we touch base on today's topic. Now, this week's podcast idea was suggested to me by Miss Brittany, an amazing supporter who emailed the Bought and Beloved email. So for those of you who, you know, have been subscribed for a while, by the way, if you're not subscribed, be sure to hit the subscribe button so you can get notified for every single podcast. But for those of you who might not know what I mean when I say the Bought and Beloved email, I have a public email where you guys can send in your faith-based questions, your podcast topic ideas, all that jazz. And I love to scroll through them and get a feel for what it is that y'all want me to speak on. Now, the email is bought and beloved@gmail.com. It's all spelled out, bought and beloved@gmail.com. And if you want to include your first name and where you're from, that would also be amazing. Now, Miss Brittany submitted this into my email. She said, "Hi, Kirby. First of all, let me start by saying how inspiring I think you are." Thank you, Brittany. "I've recently given my life over to God, and man, am I struggling. I'm finding it hard to know what I need to do to live for God. I know that I'm saved now, but I find it hard to know exactly what a Christian life should look like. So how do I walk the walk? Thank you so much. You are always in my prayers because I believe you're going to touch a lot of people's hearts through your ministry." First of all, praise God. I am so proud of you, and I am overjoyed that you are stepping out and into faith and walking with the Lord. Like, it's not an easy life. The Christian life is not an easy life, but it is a grace-filled life. It is a joy-filled life. It is a peace-filled life. It is a freedom-filled life, and it is worth it. It might not always be easy, but it will always be worth it. And also, thank you so much for your prayers, Brittany. Lord knows that I need them too. And your words of encouragement, man, that just makes my day. And I'm honored. I'm absolutely honored that I get to be an influence in your life that speaks and teaches the truth of God. And I'm just so blessed. I'm so blessed by all of your love and support and everybody else's love and support. But let's talk about what it looks like to walk the walk as a believer. So I could honestly, you know, talk about multiple verses of scripture about what it looks like to live life as a believer. Because, you know, as we read through the Old Testament and more specifically the New Testament as believers, there is a lot of instruction as to what we should do, how we should live, you know, guidelines, commands. But I want to recognize some scripture in Ephesians and also some scripture in Colossians today. So although this isn't going to be like a super in-depth, like multiple verse kind of podcast this week, I kind of just want to read some like general scripture that I think would be really helpful. So we are going to start in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. So this is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says this. He says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." And just for reference, Gentiles here means the unsaved, right? So we must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So as we walk the new walk, us believers, right? As we walk this new walk, we are to leave the old self behind and walk as a new creation. We're to put on this new self. Paul says this over and over again, and we're going to see that in Colossians as well, that we are instructed to put off, to put away the old self, leave that old self behind and put on the new self. As Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 describes, we have been created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Walking the walk is stepping into the likeness of God, which we were always meant to step in, and that is the way of holiness. Now, in scripture, the term holiness, it means to be set apart. It's purity, right? If we were to just flip over a few pages, we're going to see in the book of Colossians, another amazing book written by Paul, that chapter 3 is actually entitled, Put on the New Self. And it's all about living a life of holiness, right? Of righteousness, of this new life that we as believers have been created to live for. And it's pretty convenient, right? That, you know, it's called to put on the new self because that's exactly what we just read in Ephesians. So in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, bear with me. I know that's a lot, but it's actually a really quick read. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, this is how Paul describes putting on the new self. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of earth. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wow. Man, oh man. Now, Brittany, since we have been raised with Christ, since you, since me, and many others that are listening to this podcast have given their lives over to Jesus, we are called to seek the things that are above, to seek the ways of heaven instead of the ways of the flesh, instead of the ways of earth. We are to set our minds on the things above and not on this earth, meaning that we need to dwell, we need to meditate, we need to fill our minds and in tune our hearts with the truth of God, the ways of God. And we see this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about such things." These things. These are the things that are above. These are the ways of God. These are the ways of heaven. Now, Paul says that we have died, right? It says in Colossians, we have died and our old life has been put away and we are now hidden in Christ. What does that mean? That means that our sins, our flesh, it was nailed to the cross when Jesus had been put to death. Those of us who believe in this truth get to be resurrected now, up out of that grave, just like Jesus was. Our sin, our sickness, our old self, man, that is left in the grave. That is left behind us. And we are now resurrected in the freedom of salvation and belief of the gospel. And we get to walk out of that grave fully alive and fully free from the powers of sin and death that we were once enslaved to. And on that day, which he appears again, we're going to be met up with him in glory. Amen. Amen. So because of this truth, because Jesus died on the cross, and we have had our sin, our iniquity, the former self of deceitful desires nailed to that cross, we need to let it be put to death and buried in the grave. We need to not run back towards that grave and carry around a carcass of our old dead self around and tamper with the things that we have, you know, claimed to lay before the throne, to have put to death in accepting this new life in Jesus. That's the temptation. The temptation is returning back to the former ways of who we once were without Christ. But y'all, that's dead. That is literally going back to a grave, rolling that stone away, and carrying out a carcass and hauling it around and saying, this is who I still am. No, it's not. It's dead. Leave it in the grave. Our unrighteous anger needs to be put to death and stay there. Our idolatry needs to be left in the grave. Sexual immorality and impurity needs to be cut off from us. It needs to be cut off, slayed away, because it's no longer who you are. You're in Christ. If we allow the things of the world, our old fleshy ways that we have claimed to have laid before the throne of God to still be attached to us, to still influence us, it's only going to suck the life out of us. It's only going to drain life out of us because it is dead. It is dead and it is wasting away if we cling on to it. This new self though, guys, this new self, just as Colossians speaks of, is renewed in the knowledge of our Creator. So as we come to know the heart of God, the ways of God, and we seek after Him wholeheartedly, our intimacy with Him will change our hearts and in tune, change our desires, which affects our actions.
Have you ever felt helpless as you look around at the needs in the world today? So many of us wonder if there's anything we can really do to help. Well, we want to tell you about a new book from our friends at Zondervan called Disruptive Compassion that just might answer some of these questions. With raw and inspiring stories from the world's most desperate places, Convoy of Hope founder and CEO Hal Donaldson takes us on a tour along the front lines of courage and compassion. Let this book be your crash course in what it means to become a revolutionary as you learn how to evaluate the resources you already have, navigate real concerns and risks, check your motives, and ultimately become equipped as an agitator with purpose. Disruptive Compassion by Hal Donaldson is available for pre-order now wherever you buy books. Get your copy today. Hey guys, we're so glad you joined us today. Would you be willing to take 3 minutes to take our annual Converge Podcast Network survey? You'll be entered into a drawing for a $50 Starbucks gift card. All you have to do is text Converge to 31996 and take our quick 3 minute survey. That's Converge to 31996. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
So this is where this question that Brittany sent in kind of comes into play even more. So believing in Jesus and living out this life, it comes from clinging to God, seeking Him out, right? The knowledge of our Creator. So the simple equation is that as we spend time with God in prayer, in healthy church community, in our worship, through reading the word of God that He wrote, His words, His character, it's all revealed in His word, we will grow in our knowledge of Him and our love for Him. Because when we get to really know the God of the Bible, our hearts begin to fall in love with everything that He is, because He is love. He's so stinking good, y'all. And you're not gonna see that and fully experience that unless you let your guard down and allow him to fully know and fully love you as well. Spending time in knowing God, really knowing his heart and character, that's going to cause our behavior and our character to align with who he created us to be in his image. When we know the Creator, we, as the created, begin to see the purpose behind our being, and that is in following after the footsteps of Christ. So by this logic, I know I'm kind of like setting this up like an equation, but by this logic, if by spending time with God, we begin to live in accordance to his design for humanity, that means that if we were to refuse spending time with God, it's going to be easier to take up the things that are supposed to be dead, right? So if we want to put the old self to death, we need to cling to what is true. We need to be spending time with the Lord and know who he is, because that will affect our hearts and how we live life. If we look at verse 5 and verse 12 in Colossians, as I just read, they both begin by instructing the believer to put to death and to put on instead. You see, this is an action that we have to take on for ourselves. We must make the choice to willingly put to death the things that we know don't honor God. God gives us a choice. God gives us a choice to choose to honor him or dishonor him. We must willingly put to death the things that we know in our life aren't honoring God, and we must also make the choice to put on the things and activate and live in the things that we know will honor God and bring us into holiness with him. And if you want more of what that looks like, I encourage you to read The Armor of God in Scripture. I could make a whole podcast about that, about what that looks like. So let me know if you want to hear a whole podcast on that. But as we also put on the armor of God, we are activating what it looks like and what it means to be walking in our identity and be on the path towards holiness as well. Now, because we are God's beloved and we've been made holy through what Christ did, we are to continue in pursuing after that life of holiness and putting things on, such as humility. We need to assume a posture of humility before the Lord and recognizing who he is, what he has done. Guys, and recognizing who we are, how small we are, how it is by what Christ did that we are saved, not by our works, not by our own merit. Because even on our best day, we couldn't fulfill the standards by ourselves. It is by what Jesus did and assuming this posture of humility that we get to come closer into holiness and also meekness. Now, I know that the term meekness sounds kind of close to weakness, but man, that couldn't be further from the truth of what the definition of meekness is. Meekness is when one has their power and their strength under control. Now, in Matthew 5, also known as the Beatitudes, it says that the meek shall inherit the earth, meaning that those who are disciplined and in control of their strength, their demeanor, the God-given power and authority they've been given, they will be blessed with the inheritance of being sons and daughters of God. We are also instructed to put on kindness and compassionate hearts. And y'all, that can be so hard to do. That can be so hard to do in a world that is negative and selfish and cruel. But we are called to put on these things even when it's hard. I completely understand how it can be hard to show someone kindness when they seem completely unworthy of the effort, or how frustrating it is to show compassion to a person who you believe doesn't deserve any mercy or grace. But my friends, that is exactly what Christ showed us. When we deserved the opposite of kindness and compassion, God sought out compassion and kindness towards us. That's what changed our hearts, right? It wasn't just judgment. It wasn't just the wrath of God or punishment or unhealthy fear that caused us to have this revelation of giving our life over to Christ and assuming new life and new freedom. No, it was the compassion of God, right? The grace of God through Jesus Christ. It was the kindness of the gospel, the kindness of a loving Father that encouraged us to live a life we were always meant to live and created to live.
Your kindness, your compassion has the opportunity to lead the hearts of a broken and hurting world back to the Lord, because that's exactly how He operates and how He won us back to Him. Alongside that, we're also to be patient, meaning that we are to wait on the Lord. We're also meant to pursue others and not lose hope as we continue to faithfully endure in all things, knowing that God is good and that He is a faithful promise keeper. And I know that there are people out there that are testing your patience. Believe me, I could name a few in my own life. But guys, the love of God patiently pursues us, steadfastly pursues us. And the world will take notice when we remain patient and loving towards them in our faithful presence as well. Now, the part that sticks out to me the most as we read through that chunk of scripture in Colossians is that one of the most important things that we can express as believers in pursuing this new life of holiness is to do all things in love, because love binds all things together naturally, easily. When we understand the love of God for ourselves and how it operates in relation to us, we can then act out in that love towards others and take joy in it as well. The love of God is perfectly described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then just that very beginning of verse 8, it never fails. That is the character of God. That binds all things together. That is what we must act in ourselves. We are also instructed to let the peace of God, the peace of Christ, rule in our hearts, and that is the gospel. To have a thankful heart also as we meditate on this truth, as we remember the gospel, what Christ did for us. Now, as new believers, when you embrace the gospel, God's word, and you pursue after His heart and His character, these things will begin to come naturally. Now, it's no secret that we're all human, right? That we all struggle, and that sometimes it can be hard to act in kindness. It can be hard to act in compassion, right? It can be hard to naturally assume humility and all these things. But guys, as we cling to the Lord, as we cling to God and we allow the Spirit of God to take residency in our heart and to actively dwell and rule and reign in our lives, these things come naturally. Acting in this peace, this thankfulness, right? This grace, it becomes natural. When we put it on, when we actively choose to pursue the Lord ourselves and to walk in these things, it's almost like a snowball effect that as we spend time with the Lord, these things grow. These things naturally happen in response. We begin walking the walk truly. Now, the whole Bible gives us guidance and instruction on how to live, and I encourage you to really just dive deep into what the Word of God says. Ephesians is an amazing place to continue reading, as well as Colossians and also Romans. But know that the most important thing that we can do as believers in walking the walk is pursuing God for ourselves, because His love, which binds all of these traits together, is what we need to operate in, and God is love. The new self is set apart, right? That's what holiness is. The new self is meant to be holy and sacred and in alignment with who God created us to be. And what better way to know who we are meant to mirror than to spend time with Him, than to pursue all that He is? So my believers out there, if you want to know how to walk the walk, this is how you walk the walk. By spending time with God, by pursuing after the Lord and taking in knowing all that He is, because when you know who He is, you begin to realize who it is that you are, and you will operate in how God operates. We are meant to walk the walk, and that is in mirroring the steps of Christ, in the steps that He has already laid out before us for us to walk in. To simply put it, we are meant to love God and to love people the way that Christ loves people. Now, Brittany, I really hope that this podcast is helpful in encouraging you and kind of setting out a general way on how you can walk the walk as you lay your life down, as you lay that old self down, the things that aren't of the Lord, the past self, as you lay that down and you begin to just let Christ come in and take up residency in you instead, knowing that that is how you're meant to live, and it will come naturally. It really will come naturally. It will spring out of you like water. It will be flowing water out of you as you allow Him to pour His truth into you. So yeah, I really hope that this podcast helps everyone listening. Remember to subscribe to the podcast if you aren't already so you can get notified whenever there's a new episode. Also leave a rating and a review if you have 2 seconds because that really gets the gospel message out there. And feel free to email me any questions, topic ideas. Let me know what you want to hear me talk about in the future on this podcast by emailing botandbeloved@gmail.com. And yeah, I love you guys so much. I hope you have an amazing week. Again, I'm Kirby Minnick, and thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Bought and Beloved podcast. I'll catch you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.